Well, a terrible news over the weekend of that little girl. She was only 1 year old, Camilla Jones, who was killed by a Rottweiler belonging to her grandmother while she was being walked in her pram. The dog jumped the fence, as we heard yesterday. And it wasn't the only dog attack on the weekend. A 10-year-old girl from Melbourne was attacked in her home by a dog, a South African Burbul or a Mastiff. 76 kilos that dog weighed. That was believed to be the family pet, I think. That's the story there. But whenever we talk about these dog attacks, there's the inevitable debate whether or not certain breeds should be outlawed and whether the problem is the dogs themselves or their owners. Well, Anne Greenaway is the principal solicitor with Lawyers for Companion Animals, and she joins us now. Hello there, Anne.
Good morning, Wendy.
Well, you would say, I think, that you wouldn't outlaw any breed of dog.
That is correct, but it's not only me. It's also the RSPCA and the Australian Veterinary Association that hold such a view.
Mm-hmm. And why do you hold that view?
Because it is actually not the fault of the dog in many cases with regard to these dog attacks. It's actually a human error in many cases, and it comes down to socialisation and training of dogs and these types of things. If you also look at dog attacks, your preamble talked about the increasing numbers of dog attacks. You've also got to remember that dog attacks are not just attacks on human. A dog attack can be an attack on a duck. Or an attack on a human can also be when two dogs are fighting and a human gets in the middle, mm-hmm. and that's often regarded by council as a dog attack on a human, when it's actually a human intervening in two dogs fighting each other or getting into a scuffle.
Okay. Now, a lot of people might say, though, I suppose you could equate it in some ways with the gun debate, or I wonder whether you think this is a red herring. Some people would say, well, there are some guns that shouldn't be easily available. And maybe that is these big these bigger dogs like Rottweilers and the Bull Terriers and the Mastiffs and these really big animals.
Well, no, the South African breed, to be honest, I'd never heard of before, so I can't really comment on that.
It's one of the most powerful breeds in the world. I read on the internet here, the Burbul, the South African Mastiff. I'll just tell you, it's a large Molossler type breed from South Africa, bred for the purpose of guarding the homestead. One of the most powerful breeds in the world, yeah.
I really don't know anything other than what I've read mm-hmm. in the media, and sometimes the media can get things wrong, as yep. I'm sure you would be aware. Mm-hmm. Now, what I understand about that particular instance, only from what I've read in the media, is that the parents, it's very sad what happened. I'm not trying to give lack of sympathy for what happened, but from what I've read in the media, the parents were at the gym and there was two young children left unsupervised with a large dog. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to responsible ownership, pet ownership, that is one thing you simply do not do. So had the parents been there, perhaps that incident could have been avoided.
Okay. When we see these really horrible incidents, of course, there is always this debate about whether some breeds should be restricted or outlawed. And I guess people do bring up the fact or bring up the suggestion that there are some breeds that tend to be involved in these incidents more than others. I mean, what is the rationale then? If you think that it's not to do with the breed, why are some breeds generally more involved in these scenarios than others?
Well, you have to look at the bottom number. If, for example, you've got, I'll just use the example of Staffies. Just say there was 1,000 Staffies involved in dog attacks. I don't know the stats, haven't got the stats in front of me, but you've got to look at the bottom number. How many Staffies are out there in the community? If there was 1 million Staffies out there in the community, that's not really a very high percentage. Sometimes it is, one breed of dog looks as if it is more highly represented than other breeds of dogs, but you've got to look at the denominator at all times to see how many actual dogs are out there in the community.
Okay, is it also an argument that some of the more aggressive-looking dogs or larger dogs, they would be more attractive to people who, I don't know, want to use them in the wrong way, want to treat them in the wrong way?
Well, I do think that's true, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Fortunately, certain breeds of dogs, sort of, if you want to use the word, tougher-looking dogs, which actually sometimes have the most beautiful temperament, but you can spoil virtually any breed of dog by the wrong treatment, the wrong training,
the wrong upbringing. It's just you look at a child and you look at a dog and you see some children that are so beautifully well-behaved and so nice-natured, and you look at other more feral children that have got filthy language, and you look at the two different upbringings, and the same situation, I think, can be applied to dogs.
All right. Well, I wonder if you agree with this. 1-300-222-702 is the number here, and if you're, especially if you're somebody's a real dog person.
Well, and but it is true to say, isn't it, that some dog breeds do have a long history of a genetic predisposition to fighting. I mean, they're fighting and hunting dogs, and they've been bred that way for millennia.
Well, that is true. For example, I have had... Well, I'm not so sure about the fighting side of it, but the hunting side of it, it's definitely true. We've basically trained dogs to be retrieving type dogs. For example, greyhounds or hound type dogs have been used in retrieving of animals. And I had a beautiful natured greyhound that was declared a dangerous dog because unfortunately it got out. And it killed a duck across the road. So does that dog does the general community regard a greyhound that get out and killed a duck to be a dangerous dog that's got to be kept in a cage for the rest of its life?
But to put it another way, we have a few texts here for you, Anne. Someone, Michael from Redfern, wants to know, well, you know, if you're saying that all dogs are dangerous, I mean, like, well, let's think about schnauzers or dachshunds or pugs, etc. They're not really involved in deadly attacks.
Well, the fact is they're smaller dogs. I mean, obviously...
Well, yeah, they're less dangerous.
I don't think that's accurate. I mean...
A pug is not going to pick up a child, drag a child out of a pram, is it?
Well, at the end of the day, if people think that any dog that is potentially going to be dangerous, we should ban. I mean, that's essentially what you're saying. All dogs that are big and powerful have the potential to be dangerous, whereas just little dogs can also be dangerous. And little dogs actually often start a lot of dog-on-dog fights as well. So... I mean, if people just think anything that's potentially going to be dangerous, we'll just ban them for the potential for danger, I think that's definitely a step in the wrong direction.
Okay. Can I just ask you before you go, Anne, you're a principal solicitor with Lawyers for Companion Animals. What do you find yourself, what kinds of cases are you prosecuting there?
Oh, I don't prosecute.
I don't mean prosecute, but take on.
Okay. It's a range of different cases, but I do a lot of dog attack cases.
Mm-hmm.
So I get to see every circumstance is different. Nothing is black and white. But if you really want to know how to avoid dog attacks in the community, it comes down to education, education, education.
Right.
And for example, there should be more education in schools. There should be more education. For example, when ladies go into hospital to have babies, they should be given education then if they've got a dog. There should be pre- and postnatal courses on owning a dog if they're bringing a baby into the household. There's just a complete lack of education. And the other thing that's really important is that some councils, that in South Australia, for example, they actually offer discounts when people, for registration. So if somebody has gone and done puppy preschool, if someone has gone and done obedience training with their dog, they get a much reduced discount on their registration than people that have just picked up their dog from the local backyard breeder and then just gone off and been a very ignorant dog owner without any training or education on how to raise a dog.
Mm.
All right.
Well, thank you very much for joining us today, Anne. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, Wendy, and I loved you on the big gig.
Oh, thank you. Well, that is a long time ago, Anne, so you've got a good memory. Thanks for that.
Old VHS tapes to prove it.
All right, good on you. Thank you. Bye. See you later. Well, actually, it's 30 years ago next year, would you believe?
Is it really?
Good grief.
You must have been very young.
I was in high school.
Baby.
Anne Greenaway, she was a principal solicitor there. She's with the Lawyers for Companion Animals.